Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Here's the news in 60 seconds, yumadailynews.com. Yuma Proving Ground was able to partner up with the U.S. Army Futures Command to experiment with over 100 new technologies. Read about our military's latest project at yumadailynews.com. It was a scary day last week for one driver that rammed his truck in the back of a tractor plow here in the county. Find out what happened, yumadailynews.com. The Sheriff's Department is informing the community about another Level 3 sex offender. The department says that the purpose is not to increase fear to the public, but more to alert the community. More info, yumadailynews.com. Today, students in Yuma School District will get a special opportunity to attend a career fair. The district says it's a week-long event geared toward learning about college, career, military, and community opportunities. More info on our website. And finally, today is November 15th, also known as National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day, something I think we can all do. For now, that's the news. I'm Andrew Caravella.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is attorney Adam Hanson. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons, turning dials, and doing whatever he does over there. And then we've got Howard, the constitutional guru in the house from the Freedom Library. And Howard, when I came in, you handed me some papers, and it's got a pretty picture on it in color. It must be important. So you want to hit this really quick?
Yeah,
this looks like some sort of announcement from the Freedom Library.
Thank you, Adam. Yeah. The Freedom Library is holding its 25th annual Constitution Forum Bill of Rights celebration on November the 30th. Jacob Hornberger, who's the president of the Future of Freedom Foundation in Fairfax, Virginia, is going to be on Zoom with us discussing the U.S. Constitution and economics and what the relationship is between them. And we're going to be awarded, the Freedom Library is going to be awarding its scholarships that evening. It's going to be held over at First Christian Church there at Avenue 6C, actually very close to where you're located, Avenue 6C and 32nd Street.
That's the big church with the copper roof?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's very catty corner from you, from where you're at.
Yep.
And that's going to be held November 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to have all kinds of raffle prizes, 50-50 raffle, et cetera. It's free of charge. So come and learn about the Constitution and economics the way the founders had envisioned.
Absolutely cool. I love it. And so anybody's welcome to come to this?
Yeah, anybody.
Very cool.
No age limit, either way.
Can we watch it at home?
You could watch it. It's going to be on Zoom, so we are going to have Zoom capability. But we'd love to have you come in person.
Yeah.
I think if you want to win some prizes. If you don't care about winning prizes, No problem. You can just watch it on Zoom. The Zoom link is there on the flyer. But if you need the Zoom link, just email us or text us at info@freedomlibrary.org or 928-246-2327. We'll send you the Zoom link. No problem.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great program that night. And I would encourage you guys to go to that if you have it on your calendars. And this is November 30th.
November 30th at First Christian Church at Avenue 6E and 32nd Street.
Right.
Yep.
I just got back this morning, actually. We pulled into my driveway at about midnight, a little past midnight, from a trip from Europe. Remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how we're going to go. And it sounds like I'm all sophisticated and stuff, and I have money, which I don't because I've got six children. So I'm broke.
But we
did find some good flight deals from Phoenix to Madrid, Spain. And so we jumped on those, and we spent about 10 days over there in Europe. And we jumped around from Madrid to London, over to Paris, and then back down to Madrid and came back last night. Well, yesterday morning in Madrid time.
Oh, wow.
But we went backwards in time as we moved towards Arizona, and we flew to Chicago, and then from Chicago to Phoenix last night. And so I'm fresh off of that trip, and it was really – I love going this is my third time with my wife to Europe. We went to Italy in the summer, and then a couple of years ago, right before COVID, we went to Spain again, and then we went to France and Portugal a little bit in that trip. So we're really becoming accustomed to it, and it's really fun for me to travel – to these places, not to say that I've done it, but I love to interact with different cultures. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Just something that I really enjoy. And more specifically, I like to discuss politics, ideas, and it's really interesting to go and travel and see how people really view the United States and view our politics, our politicians, and things like that, and to get it straight from their mouth as opposed to what the media might portray to us. And we spent some time in London, only a few days. It was a quick trip. You know, we went from Madrid to London, and because the airports were so congested when we were going to go to London, they ended up rebooking our flight for the next morning, and so we missed out on maybe a half a day in London. So we only spent a little over 24 hours in London, but we were able to do a really cool walk tour of what's called South Westminster. It's not really. There's a conglomeration of different cities there. We call them London here. I mean, we all just call it London, but in reality, it's Westminster is where we were, and that's where Westminster Abbey is. You've got Big Ben. You've got
The Parliament there.
The Parliament there, beautiful. Yeah, Parliament Square. We stayed in a place over by Belgrave Road, and so it's this whole circle of all the consulates. So you just see all these buildings. They look like apartment buildings, but they beautiful apartment buildings, and they've all got the flags from all over the world are just outside there. So as you go around this curve, you see all these flags from all over the world of all their ambassadors that tend to be in that area. And we got to see where the Queen lives. Mm-hmm. She's not really there most of the time, but Buckingham Palace. What was really interesting to me, though, that I wanted to note was as we went around London, we noticed almost, I would say, 95% of the people that we were around had a small little pin on their lapel. Either it's a T-shirt or whatever. Whatever they were wearing, they had a brooch or they had a pin of a red flower. And we were there on the 10th of September, okay, so the day before Veterans Day. And as we're going through this tour...
10th of November?
The 10th of November is when we were there. Okay. But they were wearing it for why? Do you know why? For the 11th of November. So they celebrate in Great Britain, they celebrate Armistice Day, which is the 9th or the 11th of November, we celebate Veterans Day here.
Well, it was Armistice Day. It became Veterans Day.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I didn't know the story behind this flower. Oh. And so we asked the people as they would walk around. So in the UK, they've got something like we have here, the Salvation Army. But it's for veterans, and it's the British Legion, maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so every November they come around at all these different shops, and they'll put out these little poppies that you can, these red poppy flower pins that you can donate. You can put money into this little can, and then you take a poppy and you put it on. And so people are wearing those from the 1st of November till the end of November for the whole month in the UK. And it was humbling to see. And so once I did the research on that, what it actually meant, the red poppy is a symbol of hope. Because back in World War I, there was a surgeon from Canada, actually, who was out in the field, and he wrote a poem eventually where he talks about poppies growing in the cemeteries where he was in the field, and they were burying comrades every day, you know, of his friends, and he was working on his friends in World War I. And so that was supposed to be the war that ended all wars, and it ended in a peace treaty. But later on, you know, Hitler decided he needed to do something different. And so we had World War II. But at the time, they came up with Armistice Day to remember peace throughout the world. And what was interesting was, even when we went to France, we were in France, in Paris, in Versailles, actually, the day of November 11th, when they recognized, you know, the peace treaty of Versailles was signed in Versailles. We were in that hall of mirrors when it was signed. And so... even in France, they recognize it as a national holiday, which I don't know why I was surprised by that, but all of Europe seemed to recognize the 11th of November. And I thought that was really interesting. Their view of World War I and World War II, I would argue, is a little bit more in your face than ours was. I mean, we had to cross major seas to be involved in this, and we did. And we, of course, we lost a lot. I'm not playing that down. But they were right in the face of the German army in World War II. They were right there in the face of World War I when all this was going down. And there are still a lot of scars there. Mm-hmm. But as we walked around in London, it was really neat to see the monuments that have been built to those that have gone before us to preserve independence and freedom throughout the whole world. And it was humbling to see all these people wear these little poppy pins. And I wish we would do that here in the United States. I think as I was doing the research... I think we used to many years ago.
I remember as a kid
40 years ago, 50 years ago. And for whatever reason, I think we just fell away from that. And I would like to see us come back to that. Mm. It was just really humbling to see people wear that and to acknowledge the fact that wars happen, but we can do better. And we've seen what's happened in the past, and we can do better in the future. Yep. We've got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Starting off the work week with more sunshine and more warm temperatures. High pressure is keeping us dry today, and those temperatures near 90, starting to cool ever so slightly tomorrow, 86 the high.
It takes two vaccines to help protect you this season, the flu and COVID-19. And now you can get both shots at the same visit. Learn more at cdc.gov/vaccines.
Sponsored by Sanofi Pasteur.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. Then we've got Howard, our constitutional guru from the Freedom Library. Over the break, we were talking about, Howard actually asked me, I was talking in that first segment about what my trip that my wife and I just got back from last night. It was about 10 days. I like to say eight because 2 days of travel really to get to where we went. We went over to Madrid, and then we went from Madrid to London, London, Paris, back to Madrid so we could fly home. And Howard asked me a couple questions over the break about how was it getting to these countries? Was it a hassle in the sense of COVID? And I said, actually, it's harder to get to the U.S. than it is to get to anywhere else. First of all, when we booked this travel, it was super cheap. It was like $280. Russ asked me that question as well. It was $280 for a round trip ticket. And so my wife and I, we bought two of them. So it was about $600 a piece or all together to get over there and get back. And before we went for Spain, they'll ask you some questions. Are you fully vaccinated? If not, then we need to have like within 72 hours, you have to have an antigen test or a PCR test. If you are fully vaccinated, then you just show your card, your vaccination card. We are fully vaccinated, so it was really easy. We showed our passport and our vaccination card, and we got to Spain no problem. On the plane itself, as we flew, it was actually a Spanish airline, but it was flying under American Airlines. And so the federal mandates were still in place on that flight of you were supposed to be wearing your face mask the whole time, but because we're not really, it was a Spanish airline, so they're not really enforcing it. Most people didn't have their face. They had them on from time to time, but I flew probably that whole flight from LAX to Madrid without my face mask on. I either was nibbling on something or drinking something, or I just the stewardess just didn't care. I mean, it's such a long trip, and they weren't really pushing it. Once we got to Madrid, we got off the plane and we showed our passport and we showed our COVID card again, and that was it. You have to fill out something called a passenger locator form, and it tells them what seat you were sitting in. I imagine if somebody contracts COVID or comes up positive, then they're trying to link it back to who's around them and that kind of stuff. There was no quarantining. We didn't have to quarantine at all. They don't care about that. And that was the same story when we went to Italy during the summer. The hardest part of this was getting back to the United States. Getting back to the United States, they asked, are you fully vaccinated? Yes. Okay, let's see your COVID vaccination card. But regardless whether you're vaccinated or not, you still have to do a PCR antigen test within 72 hours of your flight. And so for us, it actually ends up being quite the burden. Like, the more I thought about this, the more angry I got about it, because I'm like, I can go straight to Spain, I can go to London, I can go to Paris, and there's no issues. I show them my vaccination card, and that's it, you know? They don't bother me. But to get back to the United States, it was a huge hassle. And what ends up happening is now I'm stressed the last couple of days of my trip trying to figure out, well, do I go now and get my COVID test? Do I go at the airport? Most of the airports, if not all the airports, have the ability to do this. But now, if you're going to do that, now you have to really go early. You have to be at the airport at like five hours before your flight even goes out to get the antigen test, to wait for the results before you can even check in, because you have to be negative with that antigen test. So it's a whole big deal. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. When I was in Paris, Kamala Harris was there too. It was in the news. She was there when we were there. And she doesn't have a face mask on. She's going about, you know, making a fool of herself in our country like she usually does. And I'm thinking, if she didn't have to get an antigen test like I did, I'm going to be really upset to get back to the United States. Because if you're going to force your citizens to do that, you better do it too. I don't care if you're flying private. I don't care if you're flying on a government plane. If you're flying back to the United States and I have to take a test, you better have to take a test.
Did she?
I have no idea. I'm guessing she didn't, you know. She's exempt. She's almighty, so she's exempt from the rules that us common peasants are subject to. I don't know if she had to do it. I'm guessing she did not, because she's flying a government plane, and those planes are privately chartered and things like that, which I'm paying for, you know, through my tax money. So it really infuriated me that I have to deal with this and she doesn't, or our government officials do not. If they're going to, and that's what brought to mind, you know, if you're going to throw out these edicts, and that's really what it is, because I didn't choose whether I have to do a 72-hour test or not before I come home. I didn't have an opportunity to vote on that legislation. There was no legislation. It was an edict from the executive branch of our government, and I don't have any say in that. The only say I have is I get to vote for a president and a vice president every election cycle. But really, the repercussions of that are super, super deep. And I don't think people understand the repercussions until it's too late, like mm-hmm. we're starting to see now. Mm-hmm. I did wear a T-shirt that my wife had got for me as a gift, and I didn't know. She surprised me with this gift. It says, "Let's go, Brandon," on it. And I don't know if you're familiar with this social media like phenomenon, but there was this interview that was given. Now it's probably like a month ago to this NASCAR driver who won this race. And in the background, the crowd is clearly yelling or chanting something vulgar about Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And the newscaster at the time who's interviewing the NASCAR guy, poor guy, I mean, his name was Brandon. And she's like, "Oh, can you hear the crowd? It's so wonderful. You know, they're saying, 'Let's go, Brandon.'" And it's like, they're not saying that. They're saying something very bad towards Joe Biden. And it's just become hilarious. And so my wife showed me this video, and I'm like, "Oh, that's really funny." So she ordered me a shirt, lo and behold, that says, "Let's go, Brandon," on it.
Uh-oh.
So when we went, so I wore it to the airport when we left the United States. And I kid you not, probably more than 20 people, they love that shirt. We're just walking through the airport, you know, checking our bags. I come up to the counter to check in at United, and all the people in the back, they're like, "Oh, I love your shirt, man. I love your shirt." And then there are people are like, what's "Let's go, Brandon"? And like, well, you have to, it's like you're part of this group, you know, that you have to know.
You had to be there.
It was so funny. And then we went to LAX. We went from Phoenix to LAX and caught a connection to Madrid. And the same thing. And I was really surprised, even in LA, so many people.
There has been some people that object to it, including the White House.
Oh, but
yeah. How about Madrid? Did they recognize it?
I didn't wear it in Madrid. Oh, okay. Well, I wore it there, but I had a jacket on.
They're trying to get it to be hate speech or something.
They don't care. Yeah. Madrid doesn't care. Spain doesn't care. They think it's funny. But yeah, it was really interesting. Really sad because we had to wear face masks so much, you know, on these flights back and forth. It's most mm-hmm. I've worn a face mask for a long time. Mm-hmm. And my wife had ordered "Let's Go, Brandon" face mask, but they didn't get here in time. Oh, so we got back last night and they were in the mail.
I can't make you take that off.
I know, right? It's so funny. But yeah, that was really fun. Getting back to this this idea of the poppies, I'm like way off track. My wife sent me some pictures this morning of some monuments that we walked by in London. And like I mentioned before in that first segment, it was really humbling to see the reverence that the Europeans have for the veterans of all wars. It started out with World War I, obviously, but World War II and any subsequent wars, they really have a reverence for that. And it's not in a political way, I would say. I think some try to take it in a political direction, but it's more of, this is what's happened in the past. We need to remember the sacrifice and the hard that we have gone through as a world community, wow. as a world family.
That's nice.
And do better, you know? And try to avoid that. It's not like, war is bad, make love, not war kind of stuff. It's not a political thing over there. It's we were really affected by this. Our generations have been affected by this, and we can do better as a world family. And so the poppy, to me, I was really just impressed, and so was my wife, about them wearing. It was everywhere. Everybody had these poppies on, and it was just really cool to see everybody united in that effort. And so I mentioned my wife as I was talking. She texted me a couple pictures of these huge monuments that we walked past, one of which was really interesting. I'm showing it to Howard right now.
Oh, yeah.
It says the Women of War, mm-hmm. World War II. Mm-hmm. And it's this huge monument as you walk down in South Westminster. I mean, the picture doesn't do it justice. It's massive. I mean, it's just massive. It's like the size of a building. But on this monument, all it is a large rectangle, black marble rectangle, but you can see has been carved in it different uniforms that are hanging up as if they're hanging on like hooks. And so you've got welders gear, you've got nurses outfits or physician stuff, you have all these different outfits of all these different trades and industries that the women had to pick up while the men were gone. And it says the Women of World War II. And so on the 9th of November every year, or excuse me, 11th of November every year, when they celebrate Armistice Day, that whole monument around it, and it's in the middle. What's interesting is you have to drive past it. It's in the median of a main road in London, and you have to drive past it in order to get from to and fro.
And they call it Armistice Day, right?
They call it Armistice Day, yeah.
They don't call it Veterans Day.
They don't, nope. No. But it would be the equivalent of what we call Veterans Day.
Well, it used to be called Armistice Day here in the United States.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what it was called.
Right.
And I'm not sure when it got changed. I'm not sure what year it was that happened, but it was always Armistice Day.
Yeah, and I'm not sure either, but you're exactly right. At some point it changed to Veterans Day.
It was on the 11th of November and the 11th hour.
11th, yep.
Of the 11th month.
Right, exactly.
The World War One ceased.
Yes, exactly. And so what about the poppies? You know, it's a red flower. It's beautiful. It looks like a pansy is what I would describe it as. Yep. It's bright, vibrant red on the outside, and then on the inside it's dark black or dark brown.
Yeah, I remember those.
And why the poppy? Because poppies tend to grow like a wild flower in places that get churned up. And so when dirt gets churned up, especially over there in Northern Europe, the poppies will just grow. Like they'll just, you know, pop up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call them poppies. But it's all over the place, and it will look like vibrant red throughout these landscapes. And so there is a gentleman who is a Canadian surgeon in World War One who was out in the field, and he wrote a poem about this later called Flanders Field, The Poppies of Flanders Field. And he talks about how these poppies have grown up because the earth had been churned up so much from all the foot traffic of fighting in World War One, and he was on the front lines doctoring people up, burying his comrades, and where the bodies were buried, poppies were growing, and so it became a symbol of hope and peace. We've got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The holiday season is here. Retail sales are expected to rise 7 to 9%. Like last year, there are still concerns about product availability for some goods. Many will be shopping earlier than expected to beat the shortages. If your business's holiday messaging plans are the same as last year, you may want to rethink your timing. Book your holiday campaigns early to give your business a competitive advantage this holiday shopping season. Learn how to ramp up your holiday shopping messages at YumaAdvertising.com.
Ronnie's Pizza has been serving up Yuma the best East Coast-style pizza and hoagies for over 40 years, using recipes that have been handed down for three generations. Ronnie's is home of the Philadelphia cheesesteak and the 28-inch party pizza. Come try a cheesesteak sandwich, stromboli, and, of course, our famous pizza. Visit us at 2059 South Avenue A or check us out on Facebook. Ronnie's Pizza is now hiring all positions. Come join a great team with great family traditions. That's Ronnie's Pizza.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. This is 560 AM KBLU, and I'm in the studio today live with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and then we've got Howard, our constitutional guru from the Freedom Library, and we've been talking a lot today about how the Union, but England's not part of the the UK is not part of the Union anymore. But you know, Western Europe, those countries, how they actually deal with what used to be called Armistice Day. We call it Veterans Day now, but they still call it Armistice Day. And I was talking about in the last break, or before the last break, the last segment, I was talking about how there are so many monuments to fallen veterans and to remember World War One, remember World War II, and to do better as a general worldwide family and society, to try and avoid those types of things. And how the English, the French, the Spanish, they've got monuments built to these types of things. And it was really humbling to see, as we walked around the streets of London, all of these memorials to the fallen veterans and those that gave their lives for really freedom in that European section of Western Europe, because they were right there. You know, Hitler was knocking on the door on a lot of these places, and a lot of these places he got through, and his troops got through and they took over. So it's very, very personal to them, in the sense of we were here in the United States, so the Germans, or even any foreign power, I think the closest we felt was probably Pearl Harbor in World War II, where the Japanese, you know, struck us at home and, you know, thrust us into World War II. However, we didn't have to experience a Nazi regime coming into our households and taking over and taking us from our households. So, yes, we did. We did experience, I'm not going to negate what we experienced as a nation in World War I and World War II. However, we were a little further distanced from it. You know, it was over there. We were here. And we still had the wonderful women left doing their, picking up the slack while our men were gone. And we still experienced all those things. But the Europeans, those Western Europeans that were invaded, and I think it's really personal when it comes to your home, and you have to be, everything's taken from you. Mm-hmm. It's very, very personal. And so I think it really holds quite the remembrance spot in their hearts because of how personal it was to be violated, I guess you could say. And even as we walked around London, we took a walking tour of South Westminster, and we talked to the tour guide. We walked past all these houses that led, it's called the Green Park is the name of the park, and it's a park right adjacent to the Queen's house, or Howard, you said it earlier. Oh my gosh. Where the Queen lives.
Now I lost.
Yeah, I know.
Westminster?
No, Westminster Abbey. It's not Westminster Abbey. It's the...
What is the name of the place you live?
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head. But as we walk towards that, the actual houses get bigger and bigger. So the closer you got to the Queen or to the royal family, the more important you were. And so those houses got bigger and more lavish as you got closer to the palace. And what the tour guide was telling us was a lot of these...
Buckingham Palace.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why I forgot that. But as we walked down line of houses, as you came to Buckingham Palace and they got bigger and more ornate and stuff like that, he'd make mention of the fact that a lot of these have been reconstructed, or they've been
They're old.
Put back together. Yeah. Not so much that, but because of the bombings that happened over London. So a lot of that stuff was really damaged heavily by those bombs over London. And we went by Winston Churchill's bunker. So he had built a bunker there, and it's pretty cool. You can go down in. We didn't go in there, but you can go in there, and you go down into the bunker.
Claustrophobic.
Yeah, it's dark. But over the speakers, when you're in there, they have the bombs hitting, like the noises, so you feel like what they felt like when those bombs were happening. And you think of those things happening to you or your family, and the fear that elicits and things like that, and I can't even imagine, you know, what that would be like. But I'm so thankful that we had brave men and women that a lot of us have ties to, because we come from ancestors that might have been involved in a lot of this fighting. But I'm so glad and thankful that we had men and women that were willing to put their lives on the line to fight against tyranny and fight for values of freedom. We went to Paris, and like I mentioned before, we went to Versailles, and in Versailles we toured the Palace of Versailles. In that palace is the Hall of Mirrors, where the Armistice Treaty was signed, that Howard was talking about earlier. And not only that, it goes way beyond that. I mean, there are so many connections to the American Revolution that that happened there in Versailles. And my partner, Sean, was telling me this right before my trip about Lafayette, Marquess Lafayette. He was a Frenchman, a nobleman, who kind of said, I've got other things to do over the Americas. And he basically gave up his royalty and all the lavishness that life brought to come and fight in the Americas for independence. And he was a celebrity both here in the United States and in France itself. And as we went through Versailles, there are a lot of depictions of Lafayette and his ability to bring people together and to help the Americas gain their independence, because really it was, France had gone through so many revolutions to overthrow these kings that they were very aware of the tyranny that happens when you have dictatorships and you have these kings over them. And this gentleman, at a young age, I think he was 17, 18, decided to come to the Americas and fight in the Revolutionary War. And he headed up, and without his help, we could have lost to the British. And he brought on the French help. He was very instrumental in gaining more weapons, more support from France in the Revolutionary War. And so without his help, we probably would have lost the war against the British, and we would not be the America that we are today without that. And it's very evident as you go through the monuments there in Paris of Lafayette's influence, not only there, but here, and the sacrifices that he made.
There's also a statue of Thomas Jefferson there.
That's right. And they talk about Thomas Jefferson in the Palace of Versailles. They loved him, and he was, without his help as well, he and Lafayette were the ones that came, kind of like ambassadors.
Well, without the money and without the military support, we probably wouldn't have been able to defeat the British. But, you know, the vast majority of the English citizens that were living here in America did not want to separate from Great Britain. They did not want to do that. They did not want to go to war. War is not a good thing. It doesn't provide economic growth. It provides nothing but destruction and killing. It's a bad thing. And it's started by governments, okay? War is the health of the state, as it's been said in the past, meaning that's what governments do best, is do war. And they utilize people to get their war done. Hermann Göring, one of the brightest Nazis that ever lived and worked for Adolf Hitler, he said, look, you can get anybody. It doesn't matter what kind of government you have. You can get anybody to go to war for you. Just instill fear in them and just, you know, tell them, hey, this is the boogeyman over here, so you got to go get him. And this is why the founders, they didn't want to go to war.
Right.
But the British put them in such a position, they had no choice. If you read Patrick Henry's speech, and I know I've said this time and time again, Patrick Henry was a brilliant individual, and his logic was unbelievable. He didn't want to go to war, but he told everybody, look, you guys, we've been put into a corner here. We got no other choice. And, you know, we think of these guys as heroes. All these guys, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick, and George Washington. Let me tell you something. We would have never heard of them.
Yeah.
Had we lost the war.
Right.
They were traitors to their government.
Mm-hmm.
And King George was not going to stand for it, and he came over here to kill these guys. That's what war is. War is all about killing. And, you know, this is why they set the Constitution, and I hate to bring the Constitution, but you want to know something? Everything we do is based on that Constitution. You can go to the Constitution and talk about the restraints on government, because that's what it is. And that's why these guys wrote the document, to put the shackles on this government so it wouldn't go to war. And if it had to go to war, then it had to be done in a precise manner. We now have allow the Congress has just absolved itself from just about
any and every constitutional responsibility it's got. It's basically turned everything over to the executive branch, and so is the judiciary. And so now the executive branch is doing whatever it wants to do. It takes troops and puts them in wartime environments, which is so incorrect. The best thing we could do for our people is not put them in that environment unless it's absolutely positively necessary. And we need to, our government needs to quit creating the environment in which we get ourselves involved in these wars.
And I think that's so. You know, you talk about Afghanistan and you talk about
all of
Iraq.
All of it.
And so you have a couple different opinions there. Well, do we need to go into these foreign countries and be the police to prevent some sort of huge world event that could hurt us, such as a 9/11? That's one argument. But the other argument is, no, we shore up at home, and they might fall over here because of the poor circumstances they live in, and their governments are, you know, they're horrible and things like that, but they're on their own. So there's two different opinions on both ends of the scale here. Are we in the middle? Are we far this way, far that way? We'll talk about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
They held your hand on the first day of school. They've been there for every important milestone in your life. Now it's your turn to be there for them. As the area's only non-for-profit hospice, Hospice of Yuma works to ensure that your loved one receives the quality care and attention they deserve. If you have a family member diagnosed with a terminal illness and are feeling overwhelmed, we want you to know that you and your family are not alone. The community's best hospice care provider is only one call away. For more information, contact Hospice of Yuma. Your community, your hospice.
Spectrum Mobile is reinventing wireless again. Get unlimited on 2-plus lines for $29.99 a month per line. No contracts, no added taxes or fees. Includes nationwide 5G. Save up to 60% with Spectrum Mobile. Get unlimited on 2-plus lines for $29.99 a month. Call 855-438-2999 or visit a store near you.
Offer valid for new customers on 2-plus unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Savings based on 2-line comparison of unlimited plans among major national carriers as of 9/2021. Prepaid excluded. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and then we've got Howard, the constitutional guru from the Freedom Library. We were talking this last segment before the break about our going to war. Howard gave his opinion as to, you know, we should not be funding or looking, searching out for this boogeyman out there, policing in Iraq, policing in Afghanistan, in Syria. Rather, if I understand your position correctly, politically, when it comes to this type of issue, it is we need to shore up at home, make sure that we have protections and defense, fund that with taxpayer dollars to a certain extent, in order to make sure that no bad guys get in or hurt us here at home.
My position is to follow the Constitution. It's really simple. It's a very simple document. Government is established for one purpose and one purpose only.
to protect the rights of individuals. That's the sole purpose. That's the only reason it exists. And it's extremely dangerous. It's extremely powerful. It is like fire. Okay? The whole idea that these guys came up with was to disseminate the power. And if we're going to go to war, then there's a process. There's supposed to be a bill introduced declaring war on some country, not some mythical war on terror. Okay? Somebody had to have invaded us. Okay? All these wars that our government has fought have been unconstitutional since, all the wars since World War II have been unconstitutional. And they didn't like war. Our founders hated it. They understood what it was, and they didn't want it. And they were trying to protect us by writing this Constitution. So they said, look, let the people debate the issue first. And, you know, you start saying, well, there's an emergency. Okay, that's fine. You know, you want to just rip up the Constitution because we got something called an emergency? Then fine, then we won't have a Constitution. But John Adams said it pretty eloquently when he said, you give up on the Constitution, this world's going to be a complete chaos. Complete anarchy will cover the world. Because the one thing that's really holding this world together is our U.S. Constitution. Is putting government in its place. This is all about government. There's a huge difference between the government and the country. And this is what so many people conflate. There's a huge difference between the country and the government. The government is totally not the country, and the country is totally not the government. Government is just legalized force. That's all it is. And it needs to be used properly, just like we use fire properly. We can cook our burgers in the middle of our living room. We can create the fire and cook them. But is that what we really want to do? Nobody does that because they have the vision of what that entails. Well, the same thing goes for government. We could have government do everything, fight all the wars, go around the planet, you know, killing people. But is that really what we want to do? We want to go out and search for every criminal on the planet? I mean, you know, is that what we do as individuals? Do we go around? Because there's criminals all over the place. They're everywhere. Do we go around searching for them? I certainly don't. I don't think most people do. But our government is designed to protect our rights. And that's what it's to use its force for. And to say that, you know, we've got more freedom today than we had on 9/11, would most people say that?
No.
What are we fighting for then? Why are we putting our people in endangered environment and creating and having them come home psychologically damaged, physically damaged? I feel so bad. Our veterans have been used. I just feel bad for them. I really do. And it's because they're going to war in an unconstitutional basis. We have never debated whether or not we should be going to war against Afghanistan or Iraq or whoever. Mm-hmm. And that's not right.
So as I sat in the airport for hours yesterday, obviously, making my way back from Spain. Mm-hmm. We started early in the morning at like 7:30 in the morning in Spain. And we got here home at about midnight. Last night, a little past midnight. And so a lot of that time, it was over 26 hours, you know, that I was flying in actuality, because we were flying to the west. And so we were going backwards in time as we flew. And when we got to Chicago and we had to sit in, it was horrendous. I mean, we had to sit in this line to go through customs, and they were really good about moving. There were so many people, but you feel like cattle. You're just going through these lines and checking passports, checking all this stuff and your COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. And when we got to London, they had recently said, okay, we're done with the COVID stuff. Like, you don't have to wear masks. So nobody was wearing masks. Nobody was checking cards. When we went to Paris, we went everywhere we went, before you could go in, they'd ask for your COVID certificate. And so we'd pull out our COVID card and like, okay, you know, just walk right in. We did have to wear masks inside in Paris, and we had to wear masks in Madrid as well in Spain. But outside, you could walk around without them. But in Madrid and Spain, they didn't ask for a vaccine card to get into places. You can go wherever you want, do whatever you want to do. But France, you did. I thought that was interesting. But it wasn't bad. I mean, you pull out your card and show them, you know. Not a big deal.
What if you don't have a card?
I don't know. I wonder that same thing.
Do you have your card on your phone?
No, I didn't have it on my phone.
You wouldn't be able to go into the restaurant, you don't think?
I don't know what happens.
Some places, yeah.
It might be. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I didn't ask.
I'm doing some of that on the East Coast.
L.A. County's that way now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's right. I think that's happening here a little bit at home. But your question, do I have it digitally? I did take a picture of it, but I didn't want to rely on it. So my wife was really wise in saying, I think we need to take our physical cards. I was just worried about doing it and losing it.
I hate losing it. Yeah.
But I kept it with my passport at all times, which I always keep on my body. Right. So I always had it with me.
They do make organizations. There's organizations now that have popped up that will verify cards and then put them in their system. So it's in the cloud.
Yeah.
In your card.
And I saw that prior to going. Yeah. I didn't know if it would work abroad. And so, and it was, I also saw on Amazon, you can get a little, they make a COVID card sized like a plastic protector that you can hang from your neck, or you can put it, you know, for traveling. And so I didn't get one of those. I just put it in my I have my passport in kind of like a wallet type holder that my wife got me, and so I can put stuff in there kind of like a wallet, and that's where I kept it on my person at all times. I usually will travel with it's on Amazon. I got it. It's under your garment. It's an undergarment wallet that
I know what you're talking about though.
Yeah, so just because we're in the metro systems, right. We're walking around.
You don't want to get pickpocketed.
You're hitting people, and so there's just different ways and tactics that we use. Yeah. My wife and I, as we walk around, she's got her little satchel that she'll hold. But if we're getting into a crowd, she'll put it to the front and hold physically have her hand over it, and things like that. So there's just little tactics that we use. I usually will wear a belt. It's like a belt. It's mesh kind of thing. But it has my passport in it and my card or cards that I'm going to use, my payment cards. And it's actually on the inside, so nobody can get to it but myself. And it takes a little bit of doing to get to it, which is on purpose. But it helps me feel safer. But I always have it on me in case. I'm always worried about getting stopped by a policeman or something in one of these countries and them asking, why are you here? In some of the countries, if you don't have a legitimate reason or you don't have a paper to show them, then they can put you in jail, and they will. So, especially in France. And so if I have my passport, you know, on my person at all times, and really that's the law in Spain, that you're supposed to have your passport on you all the time. And actually here too, you're supposed to have your green card all the time on your person, just like our driver's license or our identifications here in the United States. So I always keep it on my person. I didn't take it digitally. I don't know. I didn't do a lot of research, but the little research I did prior to going, the digital way of having my COVID card, vaccination card, I didn't feel like was a good enough road to go down to spend a lot of my resources and energy on, because it looked to be really only used in a couple states like New York and California here, and it didn't look to be used very much abroad if it was used at all. So I ended up not going that route and just listening to my wise wife and just took physically the card and kept it safe.
Wives, was that?
Yeah, she kept me definitely afloat the whole time. So she's really smart, actually.
And, yeah, I never leave home without mine either.
Is that right?
She leaves home without me a lot, but I don't know.
Yeah, she's my.
It's a wonder you survive.
My God, yeah, exactly. Well, that's it for today's session. We'll talk to you next Monday. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Yeah.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.